All right, normally we do this segment on a Monday. So explain this to me, Brady. You broke your phone, and you didn't have a phone on Monday.
Yeah, my phone broke Friday morning, and I didn't get the replacement until last night.
How did you survive being, you know, a youngster?
Oh,
all
yeah.
that time yeah. without a phone?
Saturday was spent with football. Sunday was spent relaxing. And then Monday and Tuesday, I just kind of hung out and did other stuff.
Whatever. You were dying the whole time. All right. Where do you want to begin? Because we haven't talked about Thanksgiving. And obviously, right. we haven't talked about Michigan, Ohio State. And those are two things that I know were irking you and that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I'll get the Lions out of the way early because it's pretty simple now. Just lose. That was your last breath of air. Just lose. Get a top 6-7 pick. Get either an elite pass rusher or go get a cornerback that can go opposite Darius Slay. And then get a playmaker so that next year you feel a lot better about going into the next season. The season's over. Just get working on making your team better for next year, and that starts with losing.
You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but with Marvin Jones now being done for the season, do you think they regret the Tate trade at this point?
No, because with Marvin Jones being done, that means they basically admit that there's no chance to make the playoffs, so there's no point in risking him getting hurt, which is why Kerryon Johnson should get IR'd. And Golden Tate, you got rid of him. Guess what? You're going to be happy come April when you have that third-round pick. So, no, I think this reinforces that the Golden Tate trade was a good move.
All right. Rams this weekend, on paper, it doesn't look good.
Bet the Rams minus anything. It is going
so you don't think it's going to be a Lions miracle?
It's going to be an absolute bludgeoning. It will be bad. The Rams will win by 20. Blowouts don't happen in the NFL often. This is an NFL. In the NFL, it doesn't happen. But this is a Lions team that has very few weapons. I don't think Kerryon Johnson's playing. Marvin Jones. They have Kenny Galladay and whoever they found on the street. And that defense is going to maul Matthew Stafford. It is going to be a bad football game to watch.
All right. Speaking of, well, maybe not for you, but for a lot of people, still scratching our heads. Because if you would have told me that Michigan would go down to Columbus, score 39 points, and that was all the information you were going to give me, you know who I'm thinking wins that football game. Every time I refresh my phone on Saturday, Ohio State was scoring again. How do they get 62 points against that Michigan defense?
It's very obvious. The coaches didn't make adjustments. I could see it from there in the stadium. They wanted to man up the receivers at Ohio State and not get as much pressure. Chase Winovich did not play well. Rashawn Gary did not play well at all. And when you're asking your DBs to cover the athletes that Ohio State has for that amount of time and allowing Dwayne Haskins, who might be going to New York for a Heisman presentation, to sit back and throw, it's not going to work. And then they never changed it. I didn't see zone very much at all. All Ohio State did was run crossing routes, hitting them, letting their receivers make it hit it in stride and go. And then after that punt block and the interception, it seemed like they just kind of were resigned to their fate, that they just went, okay, well, I don't want to say they gave up because that's a tough thing to say about a group of kids, but it did not look like they were all there by the end because they could have put up 70 if they wanted to.
Where do you think Michigan ends up bowl-wise?
Does it matter? I mean, this was the year to go to Indy to right all the wrongs. I talked about it on the show. This was the year you beat Ohio State, you won the big game, you finally crushed that, you go to Indianapolis, you get your first Big Ten title since 2003, and you go to the college football playoff. But instead, in the biggest game of Michigan since maybe, well, the last time Michigan went down to Ohio State and lost, and that one was on Jim Harbaugh too, that they just lay an egg. Like, if I'm a Michigan fan, I am absolutely livid. What more do you want? This might be Urban Meyer's one of his worst teams under Ohio State. And this is supposedly Michigan's best, and that's what you do in a must-win game when everyone's picking you to win. So I don't think it matters what bowl game they go to. It's a disappointment.
All right, Rashawn Gary, did I read that right? Did he declare for the,
yeah,
the draft?
He did.
So does that make him ineligible for a bowl game?
No, you can say okay. You're not going to go as long as you don't sign an agent.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. If you sign the agent, then you become...
Yeah.
Okay, so he's good.
You can say the bowl game is going to be my last game. I'm going to the NFL draft. Until you sign a contract with an agent, that's when you're officially done.
Okay, if you're Mark D'Antonio, how do you fix what happened this year at Michigan State? Because I'm sorry, I know they beat Rutgers, but that was embarrassing. Rutgers is a 1-11 football team.
You modernize your offense. You stop using ideas and concepts from the 90s. You make radical changes to your offensive staff. And that's something Mark D'Antonio's never done. And until and unless he does that, you're going to see the same Michigan product, Michigan State product, excuse me, with a very traditional offense, and you're going to need a generational quarterback to make it work. And if you don't have that, Michigan State's going to be about an 8-win football team.
It was, it's just what a disappointing season. I was so excited about them at the start, winning 10 games and basically getting everybody back. And yes, I do think injuries played a role in it, but I don't know how much of a role. Well, maybe they would have been a win better if they had some of those guys all year long. I don't know.
How do you have a top 10 defense in the country and win, what, 7 games?
Because you got Rocky Lombardi, a quarterback, and people think he's good, and I call him the Zach Zenner of college football.
Or how about you have the same offensive mindset that you've had? You're going to try to run it and run it and not do anything, try to go wildcat on the goal line, things like that. And it's nothing new. There's no wrinkles you go in and go, ooh, that was a nice wrinkle by Michigan State. It's the same thing we talk about with the Lions, except it's worse. They're using 2-decade-old concepts, and they're trying to just overpower teams. And when you have Jack Conklin and big bruising backs and you have Kirk Cousins, you can do that. But when you don't, and you have Connor Cook, you can do it. But when you don't, well, this is what happens.
All right, I'm going to let you get the last word in on the FHL's experiment of putting the shootout before the game. I know you love this idea.
Please, if this catches on, if they do it in Port Huron, which I don't think Joe wants to do. But if they do, I'm not going to say anything during the announcement. They're over the PA. I'm just going to act like it's not there. It's an
You're
going to
boycott.
Yes. It's just going to be, I'm going to tell Jim not to play any music. It's just going to be, I'm going to treat it like warm-ups. I might read an ad during it.
Well, that's part of what they say the concept is for, is that it might make more fans come out early. As long as the fans are there,
is the money worth more if it comes in before 7 p.m. Does it matter if people are 5 minutes late to the game if they give you their $40 for tickets or however much, and then they go buy a couple beers and a fry for the kids? Does it matter? No, it's stupid. It's a gimmick that, excuse me, that delegitimizes your league. 100% delegitimizes your league. And smart hockey fans, I don't think the fans in Port Huron would like it because they understand hockey. And I know, like you said before, the fans in Elmira wouldn't take it. I don't think Danville would like it. It seems like a dumb gimmick to get a few clicks on a headline. Well, so people go, oh, there's an FHL? Are we talking about Slapshot?
It's hard to get excited about something that's taking place in front of you, and you won't know for 2.5 hours whether or not it mattered.
Right.
Because it only matters if the game ends in a tie.
Right. Why not play the bottom of the ninth to start the game, and whatever happens there, and inserts there? If they score 4 runs, then the home team or the away team has to be up by 4 going into the bottom of the ninth. That's more exciting. Ooh.
Joe thought the winner of the shootout should start the game up 1-0. How about that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's just make it like those old NHL arcade games. Hey, if you make 2 goals in a row, you're on fire. You get a special flame jersey. Like, how about things like that? Like seriously, what is this? Reality is stranger than fiction sometimes, I swear.
Well, I'm glad that it's going to happen on the road. So I'll only have to hear about what happened and not actually have to witness it. And hopefully it'll only be for these 2 games down in Carolina this weekend. And hopefully the Prowlers can get 2 wins because, A, they need them, and B, they just need 2 wins. All right, yeah. I got to let you go, Brady.
All right.
Thanks as always.
No problem.
That was a good one today. All right, there's Brady Beaton who joins us every week on the show. And actually, Brady's getting close to where he'll be on a long break, and he'll be back in pretty regular here as we get into December, I think. And I always enjoy that when he's around. We'll be back.